Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's Comic Book Club. Here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Zalbin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And thank you to guest host... Jordan D. White.
Host. We're going to be announcing the show, and Jordan will be hosting.
I don't know what positions or jobs are.
Well, I'm the host, and you're my assistant.
Guest? I'm a guest?
No, assistant. Oh. Assistant.
Okay.
And Pete's like...
I'm the CEO.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
Can I be the CFO then?
Yeah, sure. Good.
That's the chief fool officer because today is April Fool's Day.
Oh boy.
There's been some crazy pranks all day, you guys.
Have there? I have.
Marvel Comics has been releasing these things about this event that it's doing where they're going to kill the Watcher. And it's written by Actually, maybe that wasn't it.
I think that one might be real.
No, I think that was real.
I feel like the strong April Fool's joke may be the Amalgam Universe stuff
Bendis
has been posting. I think that's a goof.
I would say my two favorite comic-based fools. Is that what we call them?
If you're like an arch British villain. Who are the prime fools?
Well, now that I have you in the trap.
Yeah,
I don't know what that accent was.
Close.
Brian Bendis put up yesterday, because he thought it would be kind of stupid today, that Original Sin from Marvel and Forever Evil were leading into a new Amalgam Universe, which, like the best fools, I was like, oh, that sounds really cool.
You know, I thought it was cool, too.
Yeah, and then it was a joke.
And it would make sense why Forever Evil is taking forever to finish. Right. So like, well, we got to wait for Marvel to catch
up. Yeah, I mean, that would be great. And the other one today, Robert Kirkman put up a tease on The Walking Dead, a cover for Walking Dead 129 saying, Enter Daryl Dixon. And it was a picture of a guy in shadows with wings on his back. And everybody was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Don't play with us.
Oh, because they wanted to do it.
Yeah, they wanted him to do it.
I don't know. Daryl can't exist in that.
Why not?
Because Rick is Daryl.
Oh, that's not realistic.
No. I think Rick occupies the Daryl part in Walking Dead in the comic, I think. Like, he's like that. It's a Daryl in the show.
So Daryl could occupy the Rick part. He'd be like, I'm Daryl. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I'm violent and then sad.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of OGs, I'm very excited.
You mean original gangsta?
Yeah.
Speaking of OGs,
himself, ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight, Scott Eckers.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy. Oh, come on around. Yep. There, you can do it.
I'm glad we saved all that time by making the intro thing not awkward by
touching your butt.
Touching my butt.
Bumping butts.
If you're listening at home, Justin just touched my butt.
With my butt.
Yeah. Scott, always a pleasure to have you on
the show. Oh, it's always a pleasure to come. This is the first time that I've been teased as a guest.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so.
I
was the last
minute
fill-in, and today it's the real deal, guys.
Scott, no. You're like, on The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
When they have,
I've heard of it.
Yeah. When, like, they have a go-to guy that they always comes in, like Letterman.
Right.
Time.
Oh, so I'm the Letterman of The Tonight Show.
I mean, that's sort of an insult also. No, you're the Letterman of our show.
So I'm never going to be able to take over Comic Book Club.
Is that your plan?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe.
He was saying you're the Letterman, so you're actually going varsity in Comic Book
Congrats,
Club.
Congrats, dude.
Oh, great.
Congrats.
Well, guys, I'm glad that you asked me because for the first time ever, I actually have a real plug.
Whoa!
It's a real plug.
I'm glad we teed that up.
Yeah, but I don't want you to get angry, because my plug is a podcast.
Ah, fuck you.
Damn. It's three co-hosts.
Interesting.
So four total.
And a guest.
Can you produce this level of chemistry that me
and I hope so.
Alan
or maybe exceed it. And it is, it's about stuff that's mostly made for children.
Oh, whoa. Yes, I've seen this advertised. I think that's a very funny idea. Tell us more about it.
So I have a new podcast. It's in the iTunes store if you guys want to Google it.
How much does it cost?
You wouldn't Google in the... It's free.
It's called
Poison for Children. And what we do is we watch sometimes it's contemporary, a kid's show, like a 22-minute episode of something made for children, and then we make fun of it.
Zoobly Zoo?
Zoobly Zoo is on the list. We haven't done it yet. The first episode was probably my favorite. Alex, are you familiar with the show? It's a Disney Channel hit called Dog with a Blog.
I do know it. We don't actually watch it. It's one of the few Disney Channel shows.
You are the first person I've ever met in real life who has been aware of this show.
Yeah.
I actually know about it, too, and I don't know why because I don't have any kids.
You have a blog, though.
That's really creepy that you know about it. It apparently gets higher ratings than every single sitcom on NBC.
Whoa.
And it is horribly bad. It is a live-action sitcom about a dog that has a blog and can talk to children.
Yep.
So
you know, I heard actually the final episode of Dog with a Blog, they actually kill off the girl that the dog's been interested in.
The dog.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, and it turns out that he ends up marrying the dog that he was supposed to be with the entire time.
I thought that the final episode was that it was revealed that he never had a blog at all. It was like a switcheroo, and that his newsletter that you always really wanted him to publish,
right,
turned out to be his like blog. This is really terrible.
No, I heard that it's the dog.
The
dog Old Yeller's the girl. The dog has her. The dog's father go and shoot the girl out behind the shed. It's fucked up.
That's a fucked up show.
Yeah.
It's a fucked up show. And if you want to hear us make fun of it for 40 minutes, you can.
Now, just to tie back into the comic book stuff, do you see yourself doing something like a Teen Titans Go at any point?
We kind of limit ourselves to stuff that's horrible, so I don't know. I tend to like things that are comic book oriented, and I don't know that I would. I actually rewatched the pilot of Batman the Animated Series thinking we might review it, and I was like, there's no way in hell we would review this. It's fucking awesome. It's great.
Good. Are there it's any good. Bad superhero children shows, like the Cape of children shows?
Oh
there was the Cape.
Yeah,
that was.
I don't
kids.
Know if that was designed for children.
Yeah, I think so.
Like specifically superhero based.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, if you watch some of the '90s Spider-Man episodes, they're crazy. Like there are so many characters involved.
The one where he went to the future.
The Spider-Blood that run of the cartoon.
Right.
Aerosmith.
I know what you mean.
Is that Aerosmith that does that? Some. Is it who? It's someone famous. It's someone famous who did the. Steven Tyler, yeah.
Spider-Blood.
Yeah, in your
and
face.
I don't
want to
miss a blood.
Something that we might actually watch is a Fox, like, made-for-TV movie. I think it was Generation X or X Factor.
Yes,
yeah.
That has a lot of problems.
And that seems terrible. So we may watch that. The problem is that it's, like, 90 minutes long, and I don't know if my co-hosts and I are willing to invest 90 minutes.
You know what you could do? Go on YouTube. There is, I think it's only 12 minutes of it, but there was a Power Pack pilot. That is atrocious.
Oh. So the only real familiarity I have with Power Pack is when they did a team up. Didn't they do some cool team up?
They did a cool team up with Thor.
What is this? You guys,
this up?
Is this like a fatherhood thing?
Thanks so much for coming to our show.
Unbelievable.
Also, that wasn't a great plug. You never said the name of whatever.
Well, we also didn't reference that we were doing a How I Met Your Mother bit that got completely lost. So
That was...
That's also spoiler heavy and something that happened yesterday.
There you go. By the time this goes up, it'll be, I don't know.
National news.
Slightly further away from yesterday.
Yeah, How I Met Your Father will be on.
Yeah, there you go.
That Old Yeller shit was how I Met Your Mother ended.
Yeah, spoilers
Barney
for Old
got
Yeller
shot
things.
Out in the back.
Yeah, he is.
Is that what happened?
He's the Old Yeller.
Because I didn't actually watch it. Did Neil Patrick Harris, did he shoot the mother out back?
Yeah, that's fucked up, dude.
That is.
You know, a lot of people are truly upset about that show.
I'll get over it.
Okay, wow. Someone who has so many sacred cows, really.
Yeah. Not that one.
Yeah.
Guys, anything you want to plug?
No, just the Poison for Children podcast.
That's the one thing we've talked about.
Yeah, it's pretty much the only thing that we've talked about, other than like really vague, really, really weird allusions to different non-comic book and non-Scott Eckert things.
Well, I'm about to break your illusions because we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. Yes.
Use your illusions.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that we loved so much this week it nearly broke our hearts. Starting with the last issue of Deadpool, The Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Now, Pete, do you want to hand over the print copy of that comic book so we could flip through and take a look, really
it's
enjoy
a digital. It's a digital comic.
No, but I like to lick my fingertips. Yeah. I like to lick my fingertips.
That's bad for the comic. You shouldn't do that when you look at your comics.
Yeah. I like to lick my fingertips.
I like to smell the newsprint.
Yeah.
Really just really to get a whop of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's a digital.
Really?
It's a digital comic.
It's a digital, I mean, but it's like an iPad, right? I mean, that would seems like an ideal.
Would make sense.
Yeah, way to, I mean, way to read it. The best thing to do is to buy, you know, get an iPad and then, you know, read it there. But right. If you don't have that, you know, you can.
So you watched it on a Commodore 64?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly.
Took you, what, like 7 hours to download it?
Pete had us read this on his iPhone is the subtext
that's
we're
the
working
joke.
Through here.
The money bit that
now,
we're doing.
Now, Pete, you love this. Pitt, you love this comic. From day one, it's been the start and the center. You're a cold, cold heart.
Right, and it was tough because it was. It's at first I didn't like it. Like normally, I'm skeptical of things. but it won me over very fast, and it's a nice kind of little starter menu, a little starter course kind of meal before Wednesday. It's out on Tuesday, so it's like it gets you excited for Wednesday.
An amuse-bouche.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
For
that
those of you who didn't read it, it's about Deadpool meets this girl. They fall in love. They
fight Dracula, as you do. No, no, Dracula hires Deadpool
to
go get his future wife.
And mistake.
Mistake. Because
don't hire a mistake for him to take the job, or
is
for
her
Dracula
name Miss Steak?
No, that would be a fucked up bride for Dracula. He's not going to marry a girl named Miss Steak.
Yeah.
That's like his arch nemesis.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Never hire the coolest dude in school to go get your girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Sparks are gonna fly.
Yeah.
Well, what do the rest of you think about this book?
Well, I used a jeweler's glass to read it, and what I could make out, I really enjoyed it. I was pleased that the recap was like 4 pages.
It was long. It was really fucking long.
It really brought me up to speed because this was
it was
issue
almost
13,
like the
right?
editor on it like really wanted to put like a stamp on there or something. You know? The guy was writing it.
I got to be honest. I like the joke of the very long recap. I almost wanted that to be the entire issue.
You
get to the editor. I thought maybe because I've been waiting to read this so I could read the whole story together. I thought maybe it was going to be like, and that's how it ended. That's the end.
That's
of
really
it.
Funny.
Or then there's like the recap ends, and then there's one splash page, and then like a recap of like an epilogue that explains what you missed.
A text epilogue.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty good.
Well,
you guys are talking about a book. You guys are talking about what a book is.
I disagree.
A regular book.
I'd love to read one of those.
You'd love to read just a text recap of a story? Yeah, that's a book or a manual. So check those out at your local manual store. We recommend you go to Midtown Manuals because they've been nice enough to sponsor our show. I love this. This is very funny.
Yeah,
very
I couldn't
fun.
Wait for that first bit to get over and get to the actual stuff.
Because you read it. Yeah, fuck the recap.
Yeah, fuck the recap.
You just want the cap.
I want the cap, not the recap.
Straight to the cap. It's very fun. Riley Brown does the art for this, and he just gets digital comics in such
so
a way.
Great.
It is tiny, but it works.
I also really liked the kind of the way it's been starting the last couple of issues, where it has like a fun picture of Deadpool, and then like pops up all the surrounding characters, kind of like a fun, I guess like 80s TV kind of genre type of feel. But yeah, I just think that the jokes are so funny in this comic, and it's been consistent for all 13 issues. And it's funny, it's got a great heart, and a lot of fun action.
Now, it's a shame that none of this is going to tie into the main comic, and it's going to go away forever.
No, that's not true. This is the lead-up to the big wedding issue.
I set you up to say.
So Deadpool is getting married coming out Wednesday? Next Wednesday.
Okay.
So this is leading up to that. Which is super cool. I like the way that Marvel is handling their digital comics. I think that's a great initiative where the stories do actually tie into the other stories. They're part of the continuity. I like that DC is also doing it the other way, where it is out of continuity stories. They have things like Batman 66 is an ongoing series, or Adventures of Superman is out of continuity Superman stories. So I think there's enough room for all of that, and I think it's cool that people are finally embracing digital in interesting ways.
Yeah.
I hate to say this because it does take us off track a little bit, but my microphone smells like a stripper.
I'm not kidding.
Congratulations, you've just won her phone number.
What does a stripper smell like?
Well, smell my microphone. I'm not joking.
Guys, don't do this.
That smells like a stripper.
It does smell like a stripper, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It smells like a stripper.
Sure, right.
I liked it. I liked the Star Wars references. I thought it was funny.
Like a sweaty bathing suit?
Let's move on with Justin's pick, Superior Spider-Man number 30.
Yeah.
Also from Marvel Comics. Now, this has been a pretty divisive series so far, in case you haven't been reading it. Peter Parker died. His body was taken over by the arch-villain Dr. Octopus. Yeah. And now everything is falling down. The Green Goblin has been attacking New York. Dr. Octopus slash Peter Parker's new girlfriend has been kidnapped. He's lost nearly everything in his life. And Peter Parker has started to reassert himself, his personality, in Dr. Octopus's brain. Pete.
Yep.
You have hated this series for no reason for 30 issues.
I have not for not.
What so you, what, with that setup.
For
that
one
advice,
reason. He hated it for one clear
sure,
reason.
Sure, one
yeah,
clear
thank
reason.
You.
What did you think about this issue?
Well,
and
it
we
was,
can talk about the end.
It was it was a lot of blah, 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 blah. Casper
called,
the friendly Spider-Man.
That's called dialogue.
then finally I woke up and realized, oh my God, he's back. And then I got excited on the last page.
So you did. You're genuinely excited.
I am genuinely excited. That seems like it back. Also, what I'm excited about is in the kind of the splash page where you saw all of Peter Parker's memories, MJ is in there. So I'm hoping that not only am I going to get...
Yeah, she remembers him.
Yeah, well, I'm, not, I'm hoping not only am I going to get Spider-Man back, I'm also going to get back to one of the greatest relationships in comics.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's
you know those problem. Old comics still exist, right?
You could reread them.
Yes.
Which is like, that's what, like reading again.
Yeah.
Why would you... Well, if you've already read it, though, why would you read it again?
Oh, just for, like, to remember the good times.
Oh.
Just like he did in that moment, in that splash page. They were memories.
Yeah,
they,
those were those pictures are memories. Those
yeah, right, but I have those memories. You know what I mean?
About Mary Jane?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Why do you keep your comics then?
So I can have them?
we just
what
shattered
you
your whole
this,
psyche.
Scott?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I sort of peeking behind the curtain, I was a little rushed, and I only read the first half. And I was like, it's all right. I got a sense of it. And you guys were all like, no, you need to read till the end. And I did. And I was like, I'm very glad that I did. I'm excited how it all turned out. And it seemed pregnant with earnestness. And it seemed earned. So I liked it. I thought it was good. And I like the art. I don't know.
I feel like the Peter Parker is pregnant with earnestness as well.
No. I love this issue too. Doc Ock, in case it isn't clear, gives up the body because he can't save everybody. And then Peter Parker comes back. There's a silent page where he changes from the Superior Spider-Man costume into the classic Amazing Spider-Man costume. And then there's a full-page splash focused on him where he says, my turn.
Yeah.
And he sings it. He says, my turn.
Yeah. Well, he's playing Wii Bowling with a friend there. He's I'm up.
My turn.
I love this. I think this is the fact that Doc Ock willfully gives over the control of Peter Parker back to Peter Parker is amazing. It's great. It like totally closes up the story and makes Doc Ock sort of a hero here, where he's like, I can't handle this, and he gives it back, gives up his life for Peter Parker. I loved it. I thought it was great. All the characters coming together. It's a big, grand show by Dan Slott. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a little sad about Doc Ock leaving.
He's going to show up as Casper, right? Casper.
Yeah,
I
hope the Casper so.
Octavius
Octopus.
Or whatever.
I feel like there's still a chance of that, right? That he could show up and still be in Peter's body somewhere.
Like
the same
finger.
Way Peter was in his. In a finger.
Yeah.
Now, they made a lot of references to, like, everybody knew it was the fake Spider-Man, which was enjoyable for me. It's like, yeah, guys, this has obviously been the fake Spider-Man the whole time. Who finally found out? Who is the person who...
It was a character named Pete LePage, actually, in that comic.
Are you thinking of Carly?
Carly?
Well, no, they kept calling him the
fake... He hasn't read any of them.
Oh, yeah. You just flipped to the end, right?
Carly found out, and then she got pulled in. With the Wraith, the superhero, they were teaming up, they tracked down that it was Doc Ock the whole time.
Oh, okay.
But everyone sort of knows Mary Jane... She was like, I know you're acting differently. I'll never marry you again, but I still love you.
Weird.
Yeah, it's a comic, I guess.
It's weird. Yeah. All right, let's move on with my pick. This is Deadly Class, number 3 from Image Comics.
One person likes it. Maybe a half a person.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you guys have been reading this. This is a fantastic series from Rick Remender. It's about a kid who vagrant on a street, lost. He's done something terrible back in his past. And this guy and this group take him in and tell him, you know what, we're going to take you to a secret school for assassins that's underground in Los Angeles. and you're going to learn there. So that was the first issue. Second issue.
That's true, by the way. They have that.
Yeah? That's true, by the way.
Have you been there?
Yeah, when I was little, that's where I was raised.
Oh.
Do they reject you? Or
so you're an assassin moonlighting as a comic book club host?
Yep.
It's the perfect cover.
Yeah.
Well, you've certainly been killing it this show. The second issue gave us a sense of what's going on in the school, and at the end they get their first assignment, which is they have to go out and kill a vagrant who's done bad stuff and take a picture and bring it back to class. Otherwise, they're out of the school. So the whole thing is, like, very fucked up, and it's intense and it's violent. But the character work throughout is excellent. I love it. The main character, in fact, is really conflicted, very disturbed. You're rooting for him, but at the same time, you don't know why because there's so many things that are wrong with him.
Which of the two characters is the protagonist?
Guy with the dark hair. The white guy, Scott.
Okay, all right. The white guy.
Yeah. This issue, he's out with a friend who's supposed to be like
hardcore.
Well, because
the black guy has dark hair, too.
Yeah. It also, I should mention, I think it takes place in the late 80s. I think late 80s. I don't remember exactly what year. So it's all these very, I think they sold it as like the Breakfast Club, but with murder. So you have these very specific types. There's this guy who's a gangbanger. It turns out he's actually just a scared kid, and then our main guy, our protagonist, ends up killing this very friendly vagrant.
Your tastes have been tending toward the fucked up lately.
Yeah, seriously.
Every comic you bring in, it's like,
sex criminals.
Then they watch him have sex. Yeah. Or like, then they kill somebody.
I'm trying to help out Pete, but Pete's changed.
Pete's changed?
Yeah.
I've changed it.
I'm like,
changed.
Oh, Pete's going to love this. Pete is going to love this crazy violent comic.
Did you like this?
No, it's way too fucked up.
Really?
Yeah.
You have found your line?
You have these kids running around. First off, it seems like they're on drugs. Am I right? They're all fucked up on something.
What?
Right?
Yeah, okay, vice principal.
Anyways, no, my point is that, like, because I can't understand why they're doing this shit. I haven't read the first two issues before this. I'm coming on board on this one. So we have these two kids, and they're just jumping off a roof.
The beginning of it makes it seem like The Matrix, because I also hadn't read the first two issues. Yeah. I was like, oh, maybe mind-bending. I don't know. This is cool. And then, like, literally the next page, they're, like, fucking up a homeless vagrant.
Yeah.
It's intense.
It's very intense.
What did you think about it, Scott? As a father.
As a father.
Interesting.
My fatherhood has to do with it. I have to admit that while I liked it and appreciated the sort of craft and subtlety of it or whatever, I was also a little thrown off by just how bleak it was.
Yeah.
Because above and beyond the horribly violent things that occur in the issue, they're like the main character, apparently, the white guy, is like a sociopath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would root for that.
Do you know what
Alex
it
is?
I
sociopath.
Think it reminds me, because of the setting, because of the time period, because of the subject matter, it reminds me a lot of Bret Easton Ellis stuff. If you read any of it, Informers or anything like that. I feel like Rick Remender is channeling that a little bit for the book, and I used to love reading those books. I was very into them. So it's a fond remembrance of that.
So you've been fucked up for a long time.
Yeah.
It's a fond remembrance of nihilism.
Yeah. Totally, totally.
So when you walk by a homeless person, you daydream about beating them with a stick then.
Yeah, he goes like this.
Yeah, every time. Speaking of nihilism, let's move on to the last book we're going to talk about, Walking Dead, number 124.
Yeah.
From Image
there.
Comics. Now, we wanted to talk about this book a little bit because some big things are going down. They're in the middle of the all-out war storyline where they all these different, what would you call them, towns, civilizations?
Yeah.
What are
clans,
they?
You could clans? Say? Or little
it's like a Clash
tribes?
Of Clans. If you're a fan of Clash of Clans,
Clash
your
of
mobile
clans,
device,
Town Hall Level
check
8.
Out Walking Dead. So the big event that happens here, and this is a big spoiler if you do want to tune out, but the bad guy, Negan, figures out, hey, you don't have to have a zombie bite you to get turned into a zombie. All you need to do is scratch somebody with some zombie juice.
Yeah.
So they cover all of their weapons with zombie stuff, and they just scratch people. They stab people a little bit. They hit them a little bit. And one of the things that happens is Rick is hit with an arrow that may or may not have been effed up with the zombie juice.
No, it seems like it really is because he's got a fever and he's...
He does not have a fever.
He doesn't have a fever. So we start... They figure this out. The survivors figure this out because everybody starts coming down with a fever. They realize this is what's going on. Everybody looks at Rick because Rick was hit with an arrow.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think? Are they actually going to kill off Rick?
I don't believe so because if I remember correctly...
Yeah, he's dead.
Oh. Dissenting opinion. I believe the guy that shot the arrow... is maybe has an ulterior motive here. Maybe he's not all the way on with Negan.
Yeah. But why would he shoot him with an arrow?
So he didn't blow his cover. Negan was like, shoot him. And he was like, got it. And I think he pulled a regular arrow. Because Rick doesn't have a fever in this. He's just in the infirmary because
he's
injured.
No, he's just in the infirmary.
Yeah. And everyone else.
I thought it was said.
Well, I haven't personally taken his temperature, but I feel like it's hovering around 98.7, if I had to guess.
Right. Did I read that wrong?
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about this a lot on the show,
yes,
though.
You
do you think they should kill off Rick so they can kind of move to the next stage of whatever this book is? Or is he the permanent cast member that's the center of it no matter what?
I mean, I think you got to have I like having a permanent cast member. If you, like, Crossed, if you read that, like, they don't have the same cast member. And it sort of loses that sort of core narrative. Like, I feel like you need Rick... Carl, these essential relationships, you can kill people off, but I just want to see them in more and more situations. I don't need to just see people getting killed by zombies.
Yeah, Rick says, I'm burning up. Right here.
No, that's not Rick.
That's a different dude.
Well,
a
what lot the of the fuck? He looks just like him.
A lot of people...
All white dudes look the same to you?
Yeah, white dudes with beards in a black and white comic.
He has dark hair.
I mean, what the fuck, man? How are you supposed to tell that that's not fucking Rick?
He doesn't look anything like Rick.
That looks exactly like that guy.
No, Rick has long hair. That guy has very short hair.
Oh, my God.
Also, Rick is sitting up and that guy's laying down.
Yeah. Well, it's a different panel. He could have gotten up in between.
And that guy is burning up and has a fever. And Rick's like, I'm fine.
He says, I'm not bleeding to death. Do something for him, the guy in the last panel, who's not me.
All right, fuck me.
Also, they're all wearing name tags.
Yeah, that's important.
I wish they would.
My microphone still smells like stripper gas.
In Pete's defense, the characters do look alike. It's sometimes hard to tell them apart.
Thank you.
And I'm not a crazy person, so I know the difference.
But I would like to talk a little bit about what I really enjoyed about this comic is that one scene where it looked like those guys in the car were really in a tight spot. And the guy kind of has this great kind of plan, and I thought was really cool the way they got out of that. I like the pairing up of Jesus and Michonne. So if we were
going to... There's a character called Jesus, by the way.
no, just actually, Jesus Christ.
The Jesus.
That's not Jesus Christ. I guess I misinterpreted the... Maybe I didn't get the look right.
Yeah.
I think that...
Like, well, you just read his name tag, and it said Jesus.
That's where my assumption always goes.
But if they were going to switch focus, I like those two being the center of attention.
Jesus and Michonne?
Yeah.
Oh. What if they just changed the title of the comic to Jesus and Michonne?
Yeah.
I'd read it.
Buddy, I'd read it.
Couldn't get those guys confused.
Yeah. All right. That's it for the stats.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. We are going to move on to our next section, my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. All right. So, here we go. If you have a question about anything geeky, anything comic book, anything at all, love advice, fatherhood advice, singlehood advice, anything you want, we'll give you some free comics. You, sir, please come up to the microphone.
So if each of you could take over one of the other's body for a while, like Doc Ock did in Spider-Man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Who would you take over for, let's say, a month, and what would you do?
But
you
a still have month?
To, you still have to try to, like, convince everybody else you're still...
Like the superior Pete or the superior...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Superior Pete.
Wow.
Let me be honest. I don't want to take over. I want to do a ride-along on Pete LePage. I just want to chill. I want to chill in the background and just see what's up. Because I bet Pete does fucked up stuff after midnight. Every night of the week.
Maybe.
I would also want to. I don't want to ride along. I want to be inside Pete.
Okay.
In more ways than one.
I'm listening.
Of those ways a sexual way?
That was the implication. Right. I'm not going to confirm or deny it.
Okay.
Some sort of interspace way, like a micro.
Right, like I'd shrunk down and go inside him.
You remember the movie Interspace?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Isn't, like, William Hurt in that movie?
He's in pretty much every movie.
Is so he the because the guy that goes into Martin Short's body is like
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
Oh, I can't believe I mistook those two. But anyway, I would take over Pete's body in order to steal Apple products.
Apple products.
To masturbate Pete's penis and steal Apple products are the two things I want to do. And I do both those things every day for a month. Because it's for a month,
but
right?
You're supposed to hide out of their body, right? You're supposed
no,
to
no,
keep
no.
It
you're
secret?
You're taking over.
Yeah, you're. But you're supposed to act like they act. Yeah.
Wait,
right?
That's not what Pete does. Masturbate every day and steal Apple products.
All right.
Well, I don't know. Let's go to the source.
I would choose different people for different different tasks.
I think that's a question.
I would be in Zalbin's body, but I'd be very respectful of his family.
Thank
I would
you
write, I would write
so nice.
A note
appreciate
to
that.
His wife and just be like, "Hey, I has nothing against you. I'm just going to be away for a little bit." And
she's,
then I,
she's
I would go.
Never,
to,
she's never going to believe you're being it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like,
"Cause you
fuck
know,
you. Let's do this." So then I would go to his job and then read all the comics before anybody else, and then blog about it in an annoying way. And then
wow, he's got you pegged.
Yeah.
Sure does.
And then I would get into Scott's body so I could play do improv with Big Black Car.
Nice.
And then I would
you have big ambitions, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And then I would get into Justin's body and I would take care of all of your comic books for
so
you.
Nice.
And then when you got back there, you would see maybe how important it is to do that.
Speaking of that, I need to give away my comic books.
Oh, yeah.
This
did
month,
anybody write
how many
you?
JT
Yeah, I've got a couple people. I've got a couple,
get?
Yeah. So if you, slight sidebar, if you are interested in having some free comics, you live in the New York City area or are willing to come here, I will give you comics. I'm spending this month going through them. You're on the list, and I'm going to give them away. So hit me up at JT Stizzle on Twitter. I will put you on the list and give you comics. It's gently used.
Cool.
Alex, who would you be?
Oh, boy, this is tough. I mean, you guys already took Pete. I think that would be, you know, the most fun. maybe I'd be Justin, and I'd just, you know, show up on time once.
And everyone
people
would
know
be like,
yeah,
no,
something
like
that.
Not
you.
Justin.
You've been taken over. All right, you got some free comics. Do we have any more questions? Anybody? Yes, you, sir. Who? I don't know.
What cartoon show are you most embarrassed to that you loved when you were a kid because it's so terrible?
Mm. Well, this is helpful to my podcast, so
yes.
Please.
No, that is a
can't wait to hear your
question.
Answers.
I mean, I was, at the time, I thought Thundercats was amazing, but then when I went back and watched it, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't treat Panthro right.
That's a good point.
Like, he did everything, and it was like Lionel would just purposely fucking suck. And then Panthro had to drive and get him and save his fucking ass. And then, like, that's it.
There's something to that, Pete.
So
something to that.
I would say that.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, the inverse of the question is also tough because it's like, with the possible exception of Batman the Animated Series, like, what show did you like as a like a Saturday morning cartoon that stands up? And I can tell you, having watched
Captain
a lot of this
Bucky
stuff
O'Hare.
Recently, almost none of it does.
Yeah,
I would watch Animaniacs almost every single day.
Yeah,
big Animaniacs.
Yeah, that's Looney Tunes holds up.
I would
Tiny
say
Toons.
The
Tiny Tunes and Looney Tunes.
Tiny Tunes. I would say the Disney, the classic Disney Gummy Bear, DuckTales, Tailspin.
Gummy Bears doesn't stand up. Trust
Gummy
me.
Bears
really?
Does not
no,
stand up.
I think
good.
It does.
No.
They were doing some cool shit.
No,
they would jump on a stump and it would had a spring in it. I live that dream every day of my
Wait,
life.
So that is your criteria for like a good cartoon is someone jumps on a stump and springs up?
No, so I grew up in
that's
the country.
Like every
I grew up in
cartoon.
The country and I was applicable to my life because there were a lot of stumps around.
Yeah, but
oh,
that...
okay. So you liked it because you lacked imagination.
No.
It's like,
I would go out after watching
the
show
the
and use my imagination to jump on a stump and spring in the
spring.
Air. Yeah. So otherwise I was just a weird kid. I think they do hold up, except for maybe Darkwing Duck. That one is a bit, which I loved, but that one I feel like might be losing, even though that's like this perfect mix.
Do you think Tailspin?
Yeah.
Tailspin, yeah, that show's
Baloo.
Weird.
I like Baloo.
Tailspin. These are all good choices. Let's get another question, please, for the crowd. Anybody, anything, free comics, anything. Yes,
yes.
You, sir, over there. You look so scared.
I'm terrified right now. What superhero villain heroes do you think would actually be really good if they teamed up? Like, what do you think the best?
If a villain and a hero
so
teamed
a
up?
Hero villain.
Oh.
Ooh.
If they could get along, if they could get over their differences.
I think that the Joker could teach Batman how to have fun.
Yeah.
And that might be good.
Yeah, the Joker just has some good, clean fun out on the regular night.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, whether or not it's clean or not, if there's a middle ground, Batman doesn't seem to have a lot of fun.
If the Joker's like, listen, Batman, I'm doing like 10 minutes down at Caroline's Comedy Club. Would you mind coming down and opening for me? I think you could crush it.
I would like a Hawkeye version of Batman where it's just like Batman, just normal Batman.
Or he's not as good at everything.
Well, no.
Isn't that Nightwing?
Pardon?
Isn't that Nightwing? A Batman who isn't as good at everything?
Come on. Shut up.
All right. Sorry.
What the fuck? But Nightwing's a different person. He was in the circus. And he was a cop. And he lived in Bloodhaven for a while. It's like living in Brooklyn.
Was that what Bloodhaven was?
Basically, yes.
All right. Until they dropped chemo on it?
yeah. And then he just...
Was that his name? The big guy who said bloop?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, and he ruined it.
Yeah, comics.
Oh, that was weird.
I mean, sometimes that it does happen in comics where they have to come together and for a little bit.
Like if there was some way of bringing together like Dr. Octopus and Spider-Man, that might be kind of cool, right, Pete?
No.
It's a
yeah! Oh yeah!
Ultimate
oh, shit!
What were you thinking, sir? Oh, interesting.
But what I was thinking about is Charles Xavier and Magneto sometimes.
Yeah, they
would do that. That would be awesome.
They were buddies.
Yeah.
I want to see a team up between the Punisher and a gun rights advocate. Just pair them up and see what they could get done. You know,
who's the bad guy in that?
We know about you. Now we know about you.
Terry Schiavo's anti-war. Wow. She's not anti-gun rights, right?
Yeah, that's you're thinking of Gabrielle.
Oh no! Terry Schiavo is the one who's brain dead, right?
I'll tell you what. That's a reference.
I want to see a team up with her.
No one wants to see.
Who would be and Charles Xavier? And we saw it in X-Men: The Last Stand.
Wow,
great! Very
The Last Stand, Scott.
Isn't that the name of the movie?
Yeah, I'm just pointing out your choice of words.
I see what you get. I see. Going
out with a bang.
Pretty much every hero and their arch-villain have been teamed up at some point, right? Yeah. I mean, I think so. Has Iron Man ever teamed up with Mandarin?
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Come on, alcohol. Let's go solve this mystery. Glug, glug, glug.
Yeah, mystery solved. Hangover.
Cool. Raise your hand to be outside. You're going to get some free comics. Anybody else? I think we can take one more question. Yes.
Yeah.
You, ma'am, over there. I'm going to come over to you. Here we go. Okay, your question.
Did you guys play any April Fool's pranks this year?
April Fool's pranks.
Oh, boy.
I did this fun thing where I showed up really late to the show today, which I think really got some good response from the guys.
Yep.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I was actually standing outside just giggling for the whole hour.
You know, I feel like I was talking with some people earlier about this today. I feel like since the internet, everybody hates April Fools. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah.
Where it's too much and it's constant and you can't filter through what's actually real or not. And
well, I feel like it's because so many people are using an April Fool's Day prank to be like, check out our brand over here on goof.com where we're doing a lot of pranks all the time. And... did Google do one this year? Don't they usually do one?
Yeah.
They did three of them.
Oh, yeah. They did a Pokemon thing for Google Maps.
This is also somebody who's putting us to me. Most of their pranks are like, oh, that's a cool idea that you actually did.
Yeah.
Like, haha, we got you. You can find Pokemon now, but you can actually do it.
Yeah, they're like the dorkiest pranks.
The first one was good. I like that. The Gmail paper. That was the first Google April Fool's prank.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
That was good. And the one last year, they had a thing where YouTube was finally going to determine a winner. That was a pretty good prank.
Oh, yeah, with the people who just read the
titles. Yeah, they're like, well, after all these years, we're shutting down YouTube, and we're going to figure out which video won.
That's really funny.
I actually did a prank. It doesn't really count as a prank. It was just a lie. But my wife texted me back. It's a text prank. And she was like, that really made me laugh. I love you. And I was like, yes, I just won the month. Because normally it's
Wait, what was the prank?
What'd you lie about?
I sent a text to my wife that said, my daughter, my baby daughter, Jenny. I wrote, Jenny just talked, exclamation point. And then, like, seconds later, after I knew she'd read the text, I wrote, in Chinese. Crickets. Holy shit. I don't consider myself a particularly accomplished comedian, but I've been doing comedy a long time. I cannot recall crickets like that. Literally, there is a room, podcast listeners, there is a room full here at Fontana's, and not only were people unimpressed, they were aghast.
There were several people that just walked out of this room.
Well, if your wife was here, she would have left.
Well, she would have been like, oh, that made me laugh. I love you very much. And then we can stop fighting about, like, whether or not we lied about watching The Americans or whatever. Which is, like, what my marriage has become. It's like, did you watch episode 8 of The Americans? No. Well, it says on Amazon Prime that it says that I can resume. I didn't watch it. Yes, you did. That's basically my marriage in a nutshell.
And you did watch it.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But if I can make her laugh, as I did today with that Chinese joke... You know, that's a good April Fool's.
Hey, you're keeping it together, and I love that. Well. I'll tell you what, I love you too, and I respect you.
April Fool's.
No, I wasn't going to say that.
That's it for the audience questions. Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to move to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yep.
And in the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some pop culture topics, specifically last episode of The Walking Dead.
Ooh,
season finale. I think I missed the weeks where you guys didn't like the episodes, so I'm going to say overall we really liked this season a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I did, but there were a couple episodes that were a little weaker.
Yep.
Right. I think that you were actually gone for both of them. It was the Daryl and Mean Guys episode, and then the Beth and Daryl episode.
Right.
I thought were the weaker.
I think I was. I was not crazy about the Daryl and Mean Guys episode.
Yeah.
Daryl and Beth episode I actually liked a lot. But now we have the season finale. What did you guys think about that, and what did you think about the season as a whole?
I thought this issue was amazing.
Issue?
Idiot.
This.
It was on TV.
April Fools. The final episode of the year was amazing. I literally was like so happy, even though
it was so dark.
When they did something they did in the comics, I just thought it was so great. Sometimes, you know, guys, it feels good to rip somebody's throat out with your teeth. You know what I mean? Feels great.
Hey, is that what you learned in assassin school in the,
exactly.
the sewers of L.A.?
What feeling?
Yeah.
I think actually Pete was a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
Okay.
No wonder he loves him so much, and he's so mad at Michael Bay.
Yep.
I thought this episode was great, though it was fucked up. This was a fucked up. The scene with the, as I call them, the mean guys, was like, I was watching it last night at like 3 a.m, and I was like, ugh, left me with it.
Yeah, go to bed after that.
Well, that was right out of the comic, right?
It was still different guys, but it was still like fucked up. I thought it was really well done. The way it was shot, it was sort of Raimi-esque, I thought, Sam Raimi-esque, in a way that like was done very well and not at all campy.
The thing that I liked best about this episode in particular is we're finally, after 4 seasons, getting to the Rick that we know from the comic book.
Yeah.
That at the end, you have, again, that great moment ripped right from the comic book, where in the comic book, granted, he says, what does he say? They messed up. And then Abraham says, why do they mess up? And he's like, because they're fucking with the wrong people.
Which, even hearing the end of the episode, I was like, ooh, that was... I can hear
they said, I don't know if you guys watched Talking Dead, but they recorded a couple of takes with that and then realized, no, there's no way. We don't want to bleep it or anything like that. But you get there, and finally, Rick is the badass we want him to be. And it was great. The whole last episode I thought was fantastic.
And I also liked the part where Michonne kind of talked to the son there, Carl, and was like, hey. You know, so your dad, I mean, we're living in a zombie apocalypse. Cut him some fucking slack, man. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus Christ. You were about to get fucking raped, dude. All right? He did some fucked up shit. It happens. You know, we're in the zombie apocalypse. So I thought it was kind of a cool, touching moment.
Now, what are you, big mystery that's left over for the season, what's going on at Terminus? What's happening with Terminus? What is that meat? When I was making notes about the episode, one of my notes was, what's the meat?
I would venture it's human.
You think so?
That's why they didn't just kill them, because they need them to stay alive so they can eat them.
You think that's why they put them in a cattle car?
That's why they put them in a cattle car. That's why they didn't shoot them. They just shot them and led them. Yeah. They followed all the little A signs, which is the title of the episode.
Right.
And then ended up right where they wanted them, in the cattle car and all
that. It was also kind of like that little snare you made for the rabbit.
Right.
Oh, I never realized that. No, of course I
didn't. Oh, okay. I was going to say.
That was the most obvious foreshadowing, where he's like, now let me show you how this snare works.
Yeah.
You got to follow a path like that, and you drive it in, and then the prey gets killed, and it's trapped there, and it can't get out, even though it thinks that it's coming home.
Yeah, and then he said, I hope this never happens to us. And then he actually winked at the camera, which I thought was a little
That was a little too much.
A little on the nose.
Scott, what'd you think? Didn't mean to cut you off before.
No, I am not caught up. But I'm a fan of the show, and you guys check out The Americans, because it's also not.
Let me ask you, Scott, did you watch The Walking Dead in Chinese?
Crickets. Thank you.
I was just testing to see if it was you or just the idea.
I don't know what it is, but I appreciate that. That was a kindness you just did me. Thank you, Justin.
It was really sweet, you guys. And that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right. Our next section is trivia. The hardest comic book trivia on the entire East Coast. It was actually just awarded that by the Guinness Book of World Records. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
There is a more difficult one in the sewers of Los Angeles.
It's mostly about pizza being a turtle.
Guys, we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand will suffice. Looking at the new people who have never been here before, do either one of you want $25 free? Yes, come on up. Yeah.
Come on up.
You actually have to join us on stage. Nope.
While they're coming up here,
yeah.
Pete, very quickly, could you say, I love being a turtle?
Ninja Cowboy.
What?
All right, here we go. That was also a line from... Anyways. All right, so how this works is I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. You win $25.
Ooh.
So all you've had to have done is read every comic that came out this week, and you'll obviously know.
I'm ready.
Look at
that. Ready.
A little encouragement. Okay, here we go. Question number one. In Amazing X-Men number 5, we solidified the return of blank. Is it A, Nightcrawler? B, Storm, or is it C, April Fools? So it's either A, Nightcrawler, or it's B.
I'm going to go with A.
Yeah! Woo! In Walking Dead number 124, a lot of this issue takes place in complete blank. Is it A, silence, B, darkness, or is it C? Hey, baseball started again.
I love baseball, but I'm going to go with B.
B is correct.
Nice. So topical. So fresh.
All right.
The Piers Morgan of comic book talk shows.
In Fables number 139, there is an introduction to many characters, but also featured a fan favorite playing the fiddle like a berserker. That's the hint. Is it A, Puss in Boots, B, Peter Piper, or is it C? I mean, it's the final four, right? That's exciting. All right, so it's either A, Puss in Boots, or it's B, Peter Piper.
A
is correct.
A.
$25 free.
Fan favorite, Puss in Boots.
Fan favorite, Puss in Boots.
Can you explain how berserker is a clue for Puss in Boots?
Is that a reference to Shrek?
He's kind of an angry little cat. He plays the fiddle like a berserker. It's from the issue.
Oh, from the issue.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Right.
I thought you were referencing like either the childhood story or the movie Shrek.
Or Shrek, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that where Puss in Boots goes berserk.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Pete's a real Shrek head, so you got to give him
Did you know that actually Wolverine was originally based on Puss in Boots?
Yeah, it's true, I know. and the
Berserker Rage and the Healing Factor.
They subbed a cigar for a fiddle because they thought it was more kid-friendly.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of more kid-friendly, Midtown Comics is a lovely place to take your children. We definitely recommend going there because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
And let's not forget Midtown Manual, that's also sponsored the show.
Yep. Yes, both of them sponsor the show. Lots of places in Midtown sponsor the show. We recommend you go to all of them, but mostly Midtown Comics, particularly tomorrow when it is New Comic Book Day. Pete, what manual are you looking forward to the most?
Punisher number 4. Yeah! People love it!
Now...
People love
it. You were looking forward to Punisher the most, but you didn't like Deadly Class because it was too violent.
Well, it was.
I just want to check.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, Punisher is a justified violence.
Oh,
where
boy.
You have
Here
these kids running around just doing things because they're all fucked up.
Justified.
You know, it's just, I mean, that poor homeless guy, I mean, what did he do? We don't know.
Does the Punisher get to know his victims and see if there are any good deeds that they've ever done in their life?
No, the Punisher doesn't. Just kill anybody. Kills bad guys.
Why? Because they wear like hat. Like
who made?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Who
wear
made
bad...
him judge, jury, and executioner?
He did.
That doesn't seem legal. Yeah.
Well, he has a skull on his chest, so it seems legit.
Seems that if you wear a skull, that
yeah, exactly.
legitimizes anything you do.
Sorry, sir. Go ahead and kill me.
Let me check your credentials. Full skull. Thank you. Here, put the gun right up to my forehead.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to the Toshiba 42-inch manual, 42-inch television manual. Let me check it out.
People love it. People love it.
The continuity of that.
Yeah. It's like this entire crowd is Alex Albin. They've already read it. They've read it ahead of time.
They've already... Yeah, they've got advanced copies of the Toshiba manual.
Yeah, I got to tell you, yeah, what they did with the A-cells is crazy.
You can't spoil it. You can't spoil
don't
it.
Don't
you?
Alex!
I don't want to
spoil that shit.
Can I just mention the HDMI ports?
No, I don't want to hear about it. I don't. Oh,
right,
man.
But, I won't say anymore.
I'm looking forward to Magneto number 2 from Marvel Comics. Great first issue. Magneto on his own.
I'm glad you said Marvel Comics because I wasn't sure if it was going to be DC.
Well, you never know. It's just a word.
You Magneto. Also could be talking about a manual for a Magneto.
Yeah, exactly. Magneto is a piece of technology. I'm also looking forward to Starlight number 2.
You only get one, Dick.
Well, I already said 3 things.
You so only get one, Dick. Pete LePage.
What are you looking forward to, Salvin?
I beg to differ. I've run through a few.
Why did this happen?
This is the opposite of crickets. I don't
know. Could you please tell us what you're looking forward to?
Sure. I'm looking forward to Bad Blood number 4 from Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah, this is a comic where people fucking kill each other all the time, right?
It is.
Yeah.
No, we talked about it on the show. It's a great book. It's a very different take on vampires. Where there's this kid who has cancer, finds out that his blood is poisonous to vampires, also be their vampire.
Oh, yeah, that is a great book.
It's fantastic. Yeah. He's hooked up with this girl who is addicted to drugs, and that also makes her poisonous to the vampires. The vampires have been in hiding for so long, they're like, I don't know why humans are poisonous. What's going on? They meet up with a vampire hunter, and that's where this issue picks up. It's fantastic.
So you've already read it again.
Yes.
Fucking son of a bitch. Go ahead. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Ultimate Spider-Man 200. I have to admit, I don't always follow the series, but I've read a bunch of trades, and whenever I pick it up, I like it. I like Miles Morales, and I like all the old stuff, which is basically both Spider-Man trilogies, in my opinion. So, I'm going to check it out.
Cool. Yeah, I will say I saw a couple of people who had read it in advance. I have not read it in advance.
You saw some people?
It's very... On Twitter. Who were tweeting about it, and they said that it's incredibly emotional and a fantastic issue. So,
awesome.
Cool.
So I win in terms of...
Yeah.
Scott, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Check out Poison for Children. It's a podcast. It's poisonforchildren.com, or just search for it on iTunes. It's me, Chris Grace, Ashley Ward, reviewing kids' stuff. You're listening to a podcast right now, so give us a chance.
Cool.
Great. And do you send out your comedic texts to a list, or is there a way to get on that list? Or
it's a list of one. It's my wife. And
cool. Could she pour them?
I could screen cap. I legitimately considered screen capping the whole exchange. After tonight, I will not
definitely.
Be doing that. I will not be doing that.
Can you put it? We can add it to our show notes.
Oh yeah. Now I might.
We
just
could
do
use
that.
It as we could use it as the graphic for Nerdist. I usually put the logo for the show, and then we can put your text right next to it.
You can get a lot of heat off that.
A lot of LOLs.
Yeah. Or just L's. Or just O's, really.
Yeah. We won't do that. April Fools.
Crickets. No.
Well, I'm so glad I came back, guys. Thanks for having me.
It is always a pleasure to have you here. You know what else is a pleasure? Our website. Pete, do you want to talk?
Yeah. Go to our website. Also friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests. Follow us on Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, shit, he just did my job. The Twitter handle is at Comic Book Live. If you're looking for some free comics, you can hit me on Twitter at JT Sizzle.
Yeah, and actually, if you go to at Real Pete LePage, you can check out Pete's comic, right?
Yeah.
You can, thank you.
If you go to my Twitter, at Azelbin, nothing's going on.
Will you talk about comics you've read
It's a fucking shit show. But you can check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Riley Trahan. We also want to thank Scott Egger for being on the show. We want to thank everybody here at Fontana.
Thanks, everybody.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, guys. Everybody. Good night. You only get one dick.
This guy smells like a skipper.